Have you ever been working on something, trying to get it done as fast as you can, and realize, oh crap, I think I deleted the wrong thing? Well, that happened to me, and I'm going to tell you all about it right after this. First, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and I am back home in the land of Fort Lauderdale after my excursion up to Orlando at the SolarWinds Empower MSP conference. I just wanted to get a little bit of catch-up done here in between the interviews that I'm going to be releasing. Wanted to say a few thank yous to some people, read some email, and we'll get to that in just a minute. So I want to tell the story. The day before I was going to be heading up to the conference, I actually was getting ready to pack up all my stuff because the day before I was going to be heading to a client in a nearby city where we were doing a internet service upgrade, basically just upping the speed of their fiber internet connection. And one of the things that I was going to be doing was replacing the sonic wall device that I had in place up there. The one that I had was a little dated and services needed to be upgraded. So I figured what better time than this to actually upgrade the appliance. So 15 minutes before I'm getting ready to hit the road, I realized that I had not yet pre-configured the router. I like to do that before I go on site to do these types of upgrades. I want to have all of the IP information already in the router. And in theory, a lot of times I'll just simply download the configuration from the old router to the new router, and then that way everything's in place. This was a particular service. We weren't changing IP addresses, so it was going to be just quick and easy. Well, the router I had set up in my office is very similar to one that I was going to replace for this client. And one of the things that I did was basically put it on my own subnet and configured the WAN IP to pull an IP address so that I could, you know, test the internet connection through it and all of that stuff. Well, somehow I started looking at the configuration inside the sonic wall thinking, well, that doesn't belong there. Just delete that. And that doesn't belong there. Delete that. What in the world? What is going on? And then it dawned on me. I was not in the new router that I was configuring. I was in the existing router for my office. So literally, as I'm realizing that, services start to go down. Internet, phone, my remote access. We're actually hosting a server for one of our clients, and I know that they just assume it's another Comcast outage and lost connection to the server. And my goodness, folks, if we don't preach it enough, and when I mean we, I'm going back to the days when Mr. Matt Rainey and I would be on the show here together talking about backup, not only being for your data, but also for your router, firewall, UTM device, whatever you want to call it. Anytime you go in to mess around with that device, you should create a backup of the settings and configuration. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know you're going to kind of freak out when you hear this, but I actually had a backup of the configuration. So I didn't have to be in as much of a panic as I was, because if I had not had that backup, oh, it would have taken me a lot longer than 10 or 15 minutes to get that firewall configuration back up again. So all I had to do was boot it back up in restore mode, use the backup settings to reset everything, and I was able to have the office back up and running before I headed out to Orlando. So just a tip and a story, making sure that backup applies to everything that you do. Make sure you have it. Because my goodness, folks, I had not backed up my configuration in a while because I hadn't really changed anything in a while. It was a few months old, but it was still good. Everything came up right away. Didn't have to worry about, you know, did I get the right IP address? Didn't have to worry about IP addresses on the inside of the network. Nothing had changed there. So just a nice tip for you. Always do your backup. All right. So what I'm going to do this show is basically do a crossover show between last week's show, which was the interviews that I did while at the SolarWinds conference. The next show that I'm going to be doing is actually going to be another interview from Dave Sobel, the Senior Director of Community. Today, I'm just going to play some street interviews of some people that I met there at the conference and just pulled them aside to get some thoughts about their experiences with SolarWinds and the conference. So I'll play those a little bit later. And I want to say thank you to not only Dave, who was very instrumental in getting me to the conference, but also to Carla and Ann and Eric and Sam. And I even want to say a shout out to Trent. Trent, word of advice, call your mama, tell her you love her. So one of the things that I had done before the conference was asked some of you to send in your email with questions that you wanted me to ask on my interview time with the SolarWinds staff. So I do want to say thank you to Tom and Jason and Chris and Jacob. I'm not going to actually read their questions that they wanted to ask because I actually think I got all of them in on the interviews, but I did want to at least reach out to them and say thank you for sending those in. Obviously, they were good questions. The SolarWinds people were happy to answer them, and I hope that they gave you a good answer. If not, email me back, and I will be talking to SolarWinds people ongoing. We will be having more interviews with them, and we'll actually be getting into some of the technical stuff, more in-depth look at the products. So we're going to be asking you guys to contribute a lot in asking questions about that. So let me, since I mentioned people emailing, let me go to the email that we've had for the last couple of weeks and just simply catch up with that. Don't want to dismiss some of the things that have come in. I did want to actually reference, I think it was Chris Crispo, who actually sent in a tip, and I will read his email, and he does the customary, great show, you're entertaining, blah, blah, blah. And here we go. Here's my tip. I use a program called Batchpatch. It's essentially a WSUS replacement. It works great in small and medium environments. Besides doing Windows updates, it has a host of other features that are extremely helpful. It kind of reminds me of the on-premise Nanite program. The licensing cost for an admin is very reasonable and could be paid for with just a job or two. Let me know what you think. So Chris, I'll definitely tell you what I think, and I put this in the email that I sent back to Chris, but just so that everybody else knows, I ran into Batchpatch probably 6 months ago. I think is that when Microsoft had one of those bad patch months where it literally broke the attachment feature of Outlook and did some other stuff and just wrecked. A few days after, Microsoft had identified the actual patch, said to uninstall it, and one of the things that I wanted to do was not to have to go manually uninstall it from hundreds of machines. I wanted to find a way to set up a script, and you know I don't like scripts, but I either wanted to find a script or a program or something that would make it a lot easier for me to do it on those multiple machines. And I did run across the program Batchpatch. And one of the features that it had mentioned was to be able to uninstall a single or multiple KB patches. So I actually purchased it and I actually downloaded it and I ran it. And it did not uninstall the patch that I wanted. But I like the program. I did use it for some other stuff. And I don't know why I couldn't get it to uninstall that one particular patch. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the program. I don't know. But I do like, I like the program. I like the screenshots. I like the price. It really wasn't that expensive, as he said. But I do think that I probably didn't spend enough time with it. And as you can tell, I haven't spent much time with it in the last 6 months since I bought it. So I would like to take this opportunity to reach out to any of you that are using Batchpatch along with Chris. And maybe we can, you know, recap some tips. You guys can tell me what I did wrong. Talk about some other uses that you found for Batchpatch. I'll put the link to the actual website in the show notes. But basically, it's exactly what it says. It's a way to install Windows updates remotely across your entire network. And you can, you know, patch, reboot, execute some software deployments, there's a lot of stuff in there, and I would love to be able to spend more time with it. So I'm hoping some of you can, you know, send in your tips, send in your stories. Maybe we'll do a show on that in particular. I want to do a lot more stuff like that with the show, where we actually, you know, go deep into some of these products and really provide everyone with help in supporting our networks. And Chris, thank you for asking that. Like I said, I did use that program for about a week. It's obviously I purchased it, so I still have it, and I would like to make use of it. So I'm hoping to do that. So if you have information, please email the show and let me know. I got another email from Jason, who was curious if yourself or any of your other listeners have used the Windows sysinternal tools. Yeah, I can't really read today. But the short answer, Jason, is yes, I have. I can speak specifically to that. And sysinternals, folks, if you don't know, is a suite of tools that was created back in the 90s. And I think it was actually purchased by Microsoft somewhere, I don't know, in the 2000s. So sysinternals is actually a part of Microsoft now. They're called Windows sysinternals. And some of the tools you will recognize, process monitor, auto runs, proc dump, which is a utility that, you know, does a process dump of triggers and dump sizes and analyzes, you know, crash dumps in Windows. Some of those tools you will recognize, and you just may not know that they are part of this set of tools that Microsoft bought. I believe the creator of the tools, Mark Rusinovich, if I remember correctly, and sorry, I just don't like to do Google during the show, so I'm not going to do it right now, but a lot of tools in the sysinternals, a lot of which I'm sure most of you will have heard of, you will have used them, maybe did not know that this is where they came from because they've been, you know, wrapped up in other utilities like the D7 and the Windows repair tool, the tweaking.com, I believe, has some of these tools in there. But yes, Jason, sysinternals is very well known, at least to me. I'm sure others will. Folks, if you just want to, you know, do a shout out to Jason about how you use some of these utilities, I'm sure I'm not mentioning a lot of the great ones, but just write us all and let us know. All right, let's see. I think I'm going to take a break right now, and I want to play you these interviews from the street that I did while at the SolarWinds conference. So sit back, enjoy these. They're really quick interviews. There are three of them, and I will join you back right after that. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Marvin B. here with a PodNuts Pro Street interview from Orlando, Florida, at the SolarWinds Empower MSP conference at the Renaissance Hotel in Orlando, Florida, across from SeaWorld. And found another person here that I just met, and probably end up being pretty good pals, at least for the conference. But my good friend Matt is here, and Matt, why don't you introduce yourself real quick to everyone?
My name is Matt Foreman. I own and run the Local Circuit. We are based in Denton, Texas, just north of Dallas-Fort Worth. I consider a hybrid shop. We still have a break fix shop, but the core of our business is managed services.
Thus, coming here to the SolarWinds MSP conference, and this seems to be like a pretty big thing here. Is this your first time?
No, I have been to really all of the conferences that I guess dating back when they were Logic Now, and then before that GFI. I think this is my fourth or fifth year. I think I've missed their first one in New Orleans. But other than that, I've been to the one in Vegas, a couple now in Orlando, and then one up in DC. And their little small one that they did last year, I think it was in Tampa or maybe Orlando again. I don't remember, but it's in Florida somewhere. But, right. So probably the past 4 or 5 years, I've been to all of them.
Okay. So this one here, I guess, is the first big one since SolarWinds, the big buyout partner of Logic Now. And so far, what do you think?
I'm getting my questions answered. I came here with the intention of trying to get some direction find out what they've kind of got coming down the pipe, what kind of changes to be expecting, mainly just from the buyout. I mean, and I'm sure everybody can agree that communication from these guys has been a little lacking. Things have been kind of quiet. So it's been kind of, scary to say the least when, you know, when you have a product that you kind of built your business around, not being able to get, you know, some good solid communication from you know, where they're going, what they're going to be doing. So that's what I wanted to get out of this. I got those questions answered, got some good direction as far as where they're going and what to expect in the next year.
All right. And you mentioned that you were a nice little hybrid MSP shop, and you've been with them for the last few years. So what's kind of like the one thing that you get most out of the SolarWinds products?
I use a lot of their stuff. I use their mail protection, which is going to become Mail Assure. The dashboard and just the I really like the single pane of glass as much as possible. I think they've done a pretty good job with that, allowing us to kind of multitask there really quick. It's allowed our shop to be much more effective, especially just saving time and the automation stuff you can put in it. I don't know if there's really one feature out of all of them that stand up. They make a pretty solid product, and they all kind of wrap into one good tool for our business.
All right. Well, Matt, I know we got to get back to things here, and I just wanted to grab you real quick and get a little feedback from some of the other attendees at the conference, my first one. So I don't really have anything to judge it by, and wanted to get a feel for everybody's expectations and the experiences that they got. So I'm sure we'll be seeing each other around, and I want to thank you for your time and continued success in your business.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Marvin B. here with yet another street interview coming at you from Orlando, Florida. And just a reminder, I'm here at the SolarWinds Empower MSP Conference, basically at the Renaissance Hotel at SeaWorld. Found another gentleman that I've run into that I think would be a great person just to give us a quick perspective. And I'm going to let him introduce himself. And friend, tell us who you are, where you're from, and what do you do?
My name is Zach Calloway. I own a small MSP shop in Western North Carolina called Asheville. And right now, I'm actively trying to transition more to a 100% MSP company, enjoying every minute of it.
Okay. So we had talked earlier, and you said you're transitioning. So you've had your business for a few years now.
Since 2009.
All right. And started out break fix, like most of us.
Yeah. So break fix and residential, and then I slowly weaned off the residential and just stayed in break fix business. And now I'm trying to go from break fix to MSP. Like, I would say most people that I talk to in our industry seem to be kind of in that same kind of arc, and some take longer or shorter periods of time to eventually get to the MSP, but most people tend to go with the trajectory.
All right. So obviously you're here at the SolarWinds conference because you use SolarWinds products. So let me first ask, have you been to many of their conferences before?
I went to one last year that was, I believe it was in Tampa, and enjoyed that one. And I've also been to a security audit conference that they offered at Raleigh, North Carolina, about 2 years ago.
Okay. And how long have you been using the SolarWinds product?
I would say 4 to 5 years.
Okay. All right. Your first venture into RMM and MSP product?
It is. And hopefully, I mean, I would like it to be my last, but never know. But it is my first real adventure into it.
Okay. And what do you think of the conference here so far?
The one last year, I thought actually had a lot more value for the money you spend to go to the conference this year. They seem to be really, you know, showing us what they're going to do next year. I've already bought the product. I feel like I really wanted a more deeper dive into the product that I already have. But this conference seems to be more about roadmaps.
That is true. The key word, or the buzzword, if you will, is roadmap. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the fact that this is the first major conference since the SolarWinds acquisition. And, you know, I've talked to a couple of the SolarWinds staff, and they said that the one thing that, you know, they've been told that they have not done a good job of is telling everybody what we're doing, where we're going. So that seems to be what the thing is here. But anything that you've seen that's caught your eye, or one thing that kind of, you know, stood out and said, oh, that's different, that's new?
Okay, so what I am most excited about is they're bringing product from SolarWind, the company before they brought LogicNow, that was more geared toward bigger business or more corporate IT departments, and bringing that into the MSP fold, where me, who has quite a few different companies that I manage instead of one very large one, I could still use some of those big enterprise products on the smaller market. I'm very excited for that. They did kind of unveil one of their, I think it's called NetFlow, that I hope will benefit me. I'm also very excited about their revamp of the mail archiving and filtering with Mail Assure. That looked very good. So I'm excited for both of them.
And I as well am excited about their enterprise product becoming more available for us. And you are correct, NetFlow and then NetPath is, I think, the one that most people will use, that will kind of go out and ping stuff out on the internet, or, you know, site to site if you're doing multi-location, things of that nature. So actually looking forward to a lot of it, and enjoying the weather down here in Florida as opposed to Carolina.
Yeah, it's I hear that it is very cold for my wife, and even though evidently Orlando is a little bit on the chillier side, is nowhere close to what my wife is experiencing, so it's really nice to be in Florida.
All right. Well, Zach, I thank you for your time. Just wanted a couple of minutes to just introduce some folks to some other attendees here, get a feel for what SolarWinds is doing. And Zach, I think that we're going to be looking forward to having a good time later this evening. So I look forward to that.
Thank you so much. I do as well.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more interviews from the street here in Orlando at the SolarWinds Empower MSP Conference. And until next time, holla.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to PodNuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and I am still here in Orlando, Florida, doing street interviews with people that I'm finding that are businesses like mine, here for the SolarWinds Empower MSP Conference, and guys that I just want to kind of pick their brain and see what they're doing and see what their thoughts are about the conference. So I am joined today by Sean Scott. And Sean, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your business?
Sure thing. How you doing? I'm Sean Scott, Advanced Computer Solutions, located in Central Virginia. Been in business for 31 years, and basically have clients throughout the country, focusing on small businesses, my specialty. Been using SolarWinds now since 2011. Been doing managed services since 2005. Started with Kaseya and then switched to LabTech 3 years later. And so it's been 6 years with Kaseya, or I'm sorry, 6 years with SolarWinds, and it has been excellent. And decided to attend the conference and see what's new with SolarWinds, and see how things are going in the future.
All right. So you've got a little bit of a history there since you started in 2005. I don't think a lot of the other attendees have been using RMM products for that long. How did you actually get into managed services? You've been in business 31 years, so what was the one thing that triggered change for you?
Really what it came down to is looking at ways of, you know, doing some kind of automation. I mean, we were doing a lot of the scripts we were doing previously, and when we heard about Kaseya and what it could do, and it was a huge investment, it really made sense. And, you know, we used the tool and didn't really sell it as a service. It was, you know, more, it helped us utilize doing tasks a lot better, and, still charge for time, but we didn't really have, per se, a managed service plan like what we have today.
Okay. So during your evolution, it sounded like you went a few years with each of the products before settling on, and now it wasn't SolarWinds at the time. It sounds like it was GFI when you switched. Is that time frame
correct?
Okay.
Yeah, it was right after, I guess, previous to us getting involved, it was Hound Dog, and I guess GFI acquired them like a year earlier, I believe.
All right. So you're riding the wave now of all the purchases. And one of the things that I've heard from other attendees here is that this conference is, you know, more focused on the roadmap. Now, I haven't been to any of the previous conferences. I understand you have, but, you know, this one has been focused on SolarWinds kind of catching up, telling technicals before. How was your experience with previous conferences compared to this one?
Yeah, I mean, the previous conferences, definitely, I've been to, can't remember, four or five, and they were definitely a lot different. A lot of technical sessions that they really got into, you know, deep dive into the product, you know, how to use the service better. And so it was sort of, you know, this conference wasn't as good for sure. And I've given that feedback to SolarWinds. You know, it really, quite honestly, paying for a conference and, you know, expecting to get training when really it was more of the roadmap exactly is what it was. A lot of teasers.
That is true. And I, you know, like I said, not having been to a conference before, I actually was okay with everything. I, you know, of course, I'm also a technician. So I, like you, would have wanted some more technical stuff. You know, even if you're going to give me, you know, a starter, you know, place to go, that would have been nice. But I guess I do understand that things have been quiet for a while, so they at least needed something to break out. But so hopefully they'll hear your feedback, and I'm going to give them some as well. Quickly going back to the history of you in terms of your business. Now, you started as a break fix, started to do automation, didn't bill for it in the beginning. Sounds kind of like me, where you did stuff and didn't quite know how to bill. Has SolarWinds MSP product, you know, made it easier in a sense of not just helping you with your automation, but helping you with your billing process and all of your interactions with your customers?
I wouldn't say SolarWinds or GFI had helped with that. It's something I've learned over the years from, quite honestly, a lot of it was from, you know, other people that have been doing it on a larger scale, learned some of the things that they do that they, you know, they like. We don't do like an all-you-can-eat type of thing, which I know a lot of peers do. You know, we charge separate for our labor, but, you know, we have fine-tuned over the years. And, you know, I think SolarWinds has helped been able to fine-tune and having the, you know, separate add-on services, you know, for the mail filtering and for backups in general. I think that's helped a lot, making it easier.
All right. Well, all in all, thank you for your time. I didn't want to take up too much. I just asked for a few minutes just to step out of the conference here and do that. I know you from the ASCII group. I've seen you in some of the other groups, so I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future. Just so you know, you missed a nice entertaining evening last night. Just keep that in mind. All right. So, Sean, again, thank you, and look forward to seeing you at the next conference that is available. And ladies and gentlemen of PodNuts World, and those of you listening to the show, this will end the street interview segment that I've been doing here at the conference. And be sure to be looking for some of the other SolarWinds interviews that I do here. And as always, thank you for listening to PodNuts Pro. And then until next time, holla.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. All right, we are back, continuing with this episode of PodNuts Pro, and I want to say thank you to Matt, Zach, and Sean for giving me a little bit of their time while at the conference just to sit down and do a quick chat. So as we continue on with the show, I know we're going to be a little bit late by the time you hear this, but I did want to address this Comcast/Level 3 outage that happened on Monday, November 6th. So many of you probably know by now that there was a nice little issue that happened that started around 11 something that morning and slowly filtered its way through the internet. And of course, I thought I was having another Comcastic day. I started getting emails not only from clients, but from other techs asking if I was having trouble with the internet. And what's odd is that I was actually browsing just fine. I was remotely accessing computers and servers with no issues, but I would just have periodic slowness in those remote access things. And I did have customers that would have trouble going to websites, even sites like Facebook and just simple browsing. And it was funny because while my phone service wasn't affected, I know that my phone provider actually had a lot of his people up in the Northeast and all over the country that were having issues. And of course, we did find out later that it was just a minor configuration error. And, you know, just goes to show that the internet is just not as robust as we would like to think. That we've had issues where a network card has gone out, a switch has failed, and it has just wreaked havoc on the internet. And it's hard to believe that there's not fail safes and redundancies and all of these things that will help keep the internet up and running for us. I mean, it was, you know, they said the glitch was only a few minutes, and, you know, Level 3 said that they were monitoring something, and they called it a route leak. And I don't know what a route leak is. You know, we hear about memory leak and seepage and all of these things. And all I know that if one person can screw up the internet, I'm not happy about that. But it is what it is. We live with it. But it's just another reminder for me that I don't trust ISP techs all the time. And I'm just gonna tell you, this is one of the reasons why I bring my Fluke tools to all of my internet service cutovers. And I, you know, will go to the mat and argue with these people anytime that there's an issue with the cutover. And if, you know, my Fluke doesn't have internet service after the cutover, I'm not going to sit and let somebody tell me that my configuration is wrong or there must be something wrong with my network. And I'll tell you a story, and by God, you're going to like it. But it was a couple of weeks ago, I had moved a client, and we had everything else pretty much done with moving all the equipment, moving all the computers, and we're there with my favorite internet service provider, and I'm having a pretty good time up until they tell me that the data is supposed to be working. So I hook up my Fluke, I run my test, and it gets to the, basically it gets from, the Fluke will do a test where it'll, you know, when I configure it, I configure my OneTouch to actually be the router. So this way, in this particular case, the old router was still at the old building, where I still had equipment over there. I still had the servers up so that people could work remotely, and we were setting up the new service. We were getting new IP addresses, so I had set up my Fluke to be the router. So it had the static IP address, and it's set up to, you know, when I hit test, go from the Fluke to the switch, get a DHCP, which in this case it wouldn't because it's static, but it would go out and check the gateway, check the DNS, and then go out and do ping tests to the internet. Well, my Fluke got to the switch, got to the gateway, and then stopped. And I had to tell them, guys, something's not working. And the technician pulls out his laptop, connects, and goes, yeah, I can't browse. So we're on the phone with the service activation team, and they're telling us that they're in their equipment, they're having no issues. And I'm listening to the conversation, and the technician on site had the phone on speaker, and he tells her that he can't browse the internet, and her first question was, is this the customer's equipment? And I looked at him, and he had a look on his face. Well, let me try to explain. Most of you that have seen me would understand that if I tell you my face turned white, you would quite understand the expression that was on his face. So he looks at me with that look, and proceeds to tell the lady on the phone, no, this is my notebook that I've hooked up directly to the router, and I can't browse. And she says, well, is there another piece of equipment we can check? And I look at him and I said, tell her that I've got my network tester here, and it's not working. And he doesn't want to tell her that. So they talk amongst themselves for a little while, and they do some stuff. Come to find out, they had provided us with the incorrect IP information. The incorrect static IP, the incorrect gateway, everything, not even correct. And the reason? Because it was still in use at another customer. So I'll let that settle with you for a little bit. So we get the correct information. I reconfigure the Fluke. They tell us, okay, you're up and running, you're good. I hit test. Test does a cable check, goes out, hits the switch, goes out, hits the gateway. We got a green check. Beautiful. We get to DNS. Nothing. So the tech has to say again, we can't get internet, can't browse. And she again, with the, is it the customary equipment? And he says, no. And I'm looking at everything and I say, you need to tell her that we can get to the gateway, but we can't get past the gateway. And they talk amongst themselves some more and they're trying to do stuff and not really let me listen. And I had to say to him, look, I am not going to be spending a ton of time here waiting for you guys to figure out what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on. You have something misconfigured. So it's either the gateway or it's the DNS, but I'm telling you, this is what it is. Sure enough, about 5 minutes later, oh, so sorry, we have the wrong information again. So, ladies and gentlemen, not that these two incidents are related, but I'm telling you, you need to have your equipment so that when these issues come up, don't just take somebody's word for it, test it. And know what your test can do, know what your tests say and mean, so that you can communicate to the technician, to the phone person, whoever it is, here's a problem, it's not the customer equipment, it's your problem. You fix it, and don't make me sit here and waste time. So, don't know why I wanted to go on that rant, I really didn't want to, but that's kind of what I thought about when I was thinking about the Level 3 outage, so sorry about that. Didn't mean to turn it into another flute story, but I have more and you'll hear more in weeks to come. But why don't we go ahead? I wanted to keep this interview because I'm not talking to anybody but me, but I wanted to keep this podcast short, just do a little catch up. So let me wrap this up. And I thanked everybody that I meant to thank, and I read the emails that I meant to read. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Podnuts Pro. For those of you that are going to be emailing about the batch patch that we asked about, or the sys internals, or if you just want to send email with questions, tips, show suggestions, please go ahead and email those to me, marvin@podnuts.com. Just so that you know, a little programming note, we are going to be having not only the interviews I told you about with Dave Sobel from SolarWinds, I've got a interview coming up with Malwarebytes. Alex and Michael will be here on the show, and we'll be talking about their tool set, the tech bench that they have. We'll be talking about a bunch of other things, so that's going to be coming up. I will be having an interview with somebody from AppRiver, and we'll have more interviews from people that I met either as a part of the SolarWinds conference or somebody else that I met that will help with giving us business tips and guidance on supporting our larger business customers. So all that's going to be coming up. And for you to be able to follow the show, be sure to go to the website, podnuts.com, and look at everything there. I even have been on the social media and we have the Twitter account up and running. So we are at Podnuts Pro. So be sure to follow us there. Another side note, while you're over at the website, head over to the right there, hit donate, provide some monetary benefits to the show, help our owner, Door-to-Door Geek, out there, provide us with some good equipment. Maybe we can hire, you know, writers and producers and all that stuff. Got some great shows coming up. You'll probably get a few more than normal in terms of a rotation, and hope that there'll be good shows for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, holla.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast. I'd like to invite you to listen to all the great shows on the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network. My show is themed Everyday Tech for Everyday People. You can take a listen over at podnuts.com or by subscribing to the RSS feed and downloading them directly. We hope you're enjoying all the great content here on the network. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.